Sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, first round of the playoffs for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs against whoever. Sunset, and do it all over again. Chiefs get the win 42-21 over the Steelers last night out at Arrowhead Stadium in the first ever wild card game for Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs now move on to the divisional round where they have been for the fourth straight year now. Boy, how spoiled are we? We know we are, though, and we're loving it every single minute of it. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show today. 913-912-4810. But it is the day after a Chiefs game, so we open up the phone lines. 913-3810-810. What are your thoughts on the Chiefs getting the victory over the Steelers? 42-21. They get set for the Buffalo Bills now. Rematch of the game earlier in the season that did not go the Chiefs' way. And they get another chance. It is redemption tour starting right now for the Chiefs as they get Bills and then either Titans or Bengals. Hopefully it's the Bengals, because then it will be a home game. We will find out. But they've got their mission ahead of them, and that is Bills Sunday, 5:30 against the AFC East champions and a team that was just as impressive offensively in their performance and their display as the Chiefs were last night. Once they started to get rolling, the Chiefs, that is, once they started to roll, once they got it turned on, there was no stopping it. Boy, that had a Texans feel, didn't it? That was Texans-esque the first quarter, except for being down 17 fewer points. Not down 24 when the Chiefs turned it on. Down 7 after the fumble. After the Mecole Hardman fumble, then the Darrell Williams fumble and the Watt scoop and score. And then it was all Chiefs all day. Patrick Mahomes, the offense, and the defense continued their dominance in that game, which is one of the things that I thought would happen. Look, you heard all last week. This was not a surprise to me. There was nothing. The only surprise was the first quarter, just as the Texans 2 years ago. The only surprise was the first quarter. The Chiefs were the much better team than the Texans, and I did not have a worry that week heading into the Texans game. I had a worry after 15 minutes, after the first quarter, and then, what, a couple of minutes into the second quarter when they kicked the field goal to officially go up 24-0, which would be the final positive for the Houston Texans organization to date, was that first quarter in the divisional round against the Chiefs. They killed the Texans. They broke the Texans. And the Texans then broke themselves. And they ended the career of Big Ben. They did last night. I just wish L'Jarius Sneed would have caught the interception on the final drive, just so Big Ben would go out on an interception. His last pass as a pro would be intercepted. I mean, that would have been really chef's kiss. It didn't happen, though. He ends up his final throw being short of the goal line, and he walks off the field for the final time, losing by 21. He was pretty close. He said they would lose by 20. Remember last week? We're going up against the number one team. Well, not number one seed, but the best team. They've been there. We'll probably lose by 20. Close. You're very close. You should have been doing the predictions for us. The prediction video, Big Ben. You're close to say, well, I don't know what the final score is going to be, but it'll be the Chiefs by 20. You'd have been pretty darn close. Again, 913-3810-810. Do want to give you a heads up with Johnny's Tavern. Today, you've got 42% off any specialty whole pizza, large whole specialty pizza, dine-in only, 42% off. All KC locations, Lawrence and Topeka, good until close of business. You can go there, hang out, know the Chiefs are heading into the divisional round, and watch the NFC final wild card game tonight with Rams and Cardinals. A lot of stuff to talk about today, a lot of stuff on the docket. Certainly your texts and phone calls. We'll hear from Andy Reid coming up later on in the show in the noon hour. Mick Schaefer will hang out with us today at about 1 o'clock or so for the final hour. We got Learn Funniest Best, and for the first couple of hours, taking your phone calls and texts as well. I want to go through some of the takeaways that I had, and then we'll get into the thoughts from the listeners and what the the feeling is last night and then heading into the divisional round now. There's going to be a lot of talk, as there should be, about Patrick Mahomes and how brilliant he was last night, and he absolutely was that. He was vintage Patrick Mahomes. He was perfect Patrick Mahomes. He was the embodiment of what we've seen and what we think of when we think of Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense. That's what it was after the first five possessions. Those first five possessions were frustrating, annoying, not really worrisome, because the defense was awesome. So there's going to be a lot of talk about Patrick Mahomes, as there should be. There'll be talk about other members of the offense, which there should be. And moving forward, what we'll get into as well. But to me, one of the questions we had after the last two games of the season was the defense. And you can, look, you can grain of salt it, you can caveat it, you can do it, dismiss it, qualify it, whatever you want to do. But we talked about, going into the game, the real concern for me moving on after the Steelers, because I wasn't concerned about the Steelers. I dismissed them. I looked past them. We were talking about, you know, teams after the Bill or after the Steelers. Is it going to be the Bills or is it going to be the Raiders or the Bengals? Like, who are they going to end up facing off against in the divisional round at home? Not really. Let's go in and break down the Steelers, because I didn't think the Steelers had a chance. And even when they led 7-0, I didn't think the Steelers had a chance in this game. So there's going to be talk about, after the first five possessions, the next six for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. But to me, defensively, was so dominant last night. Was so good. I mean, and do whatever you want. Dismiss it all you want. And act like it's not that big of a deal, because it was the Steelers' offense. And granted, I agree, the Steelers' offense is trash, but they made a trash offense look like a high school offense. The Steelers did nothing. And while the Chiefs' offense was trying to figure it out, the defense was dominant and allowing the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and the studs on that side of the football to settle in, to see what the Steelers were doing defensively, and then to adjust, and then to exploit, and then to dominate after that. The defense was brilliant. Eight possessions. The first eight possessions of the game, the Steelers put up 0 points, gained a total of 38 yards, and two first downs. The first eight possessions, 5-3 and outs, and a turnover, and the fumble, forced fumble by Willie Gay, and the recovery by Frank Clark. 6:32 in the third quarter, the Steelers ran their first play across midfield. Their first play in Chiefs territory was 6:32 to go in the third quarter. And by the way, it happened because Tyrann Mathieu missed the tackle. I mean, we're talking about the defense, so I don't want to point out, you know, any small little thing like that. But Freiermuth had the ball, third and four, back to the, you know, line of scrimmage and the first down marker. Mathieu was there sizing him up and then overran it. And Freiermuth picks up the first down, and they run their first play with 6.5 minutes. If Mathieu makes the tackle there, I don't know, they should go for it on fourth down at that point. And if they get stopped, they're still not running a play in Chiefs territory. They end up getting the first down. They score a touchdown on that drive. But it's the first play in Chiefs territory with 6:32 to go in the third quarter. Yeah, the Steelers' offense isn't all that good. But the Chiefs' defense made them look like a completely disconnected. There wasn't a feel at all of organization. They had dropped passes. Certainly that matters. But the Chiefs defense can have something to do with that as well. Johnson then made, you know, some plays later on, and Washington made some plays, which there are some things to be concerned about coming out of that game. I don't think this was a perfect game by any stretch, and they have to play one of their best games of the season to beat the Bills on Sunday. But to me, the most positive part was the defense getting back to playing with that energy, putting pressure on a quarterback that threw the ball in just barely over 2 seconds. He gets rid of the ball the fastest in the NFL, and he was even faster last night getting rid of the football. And the running defense, the rushing defense, was dominant as well against a good back that, yes, was limited because of his elbow and being able to secure the football, which the Chiefs were going after that, as they should. Shout out, hat tip to Danny Klinkscale on Friday with Seren that said that was talking about that brace that Najee Harris was going to wear, and then he didn't want to wear the brace against the Ravens, and so they sort of taped it up, and he hadn't practiced on Wednesday and Thursday. And Danny said, you know, if Najee plays, he's going to fumble the football. Like, and his point was, like, Najee Harris was talking about ball security. And so if he's talking about it, certainly the Chiefs defense is going to know about it. And if you're worried about ball security because the arm that you carry the football in the most is less than 100%, then yeah, you've got a chance of putting the ball on the turf, and he had never done that in his NFL career. So I was thoroughly impressed with the defense, the performance that they had, which allowed the Chiefs offense to figure it out and then start to get rolling. And when they did, boy, oh boy, it is so much fun to watch the offense do that. You know, we talked so many times throughout Patrick Mahomes' career of the burst ability of the Chiefs offense. I've compared it a number of times to a college basketball team that, you know, for instance, you go to Allen Fieldhouse, it might be a close game. You come out of the half and you're like, look, KU's going to go on a run. You know that. And the next thing you know, it's a 15-2 run and the game's over. You end up losing by like 12 or 13. You're like, well, that 15-2 run, that was it. They can look like they're playing at the same level as the opposition, and then a snap of the finger, they outscore you by 13, and you look up and you go, what the hell happened? We were down one, and now we're down 14. Game over. That's what the Chiefs offense can do. It's what they did against the Texans. It's what they did against the Titans. It's what they did against the 49ers in that run in 2019. It's what they did against the Bills last year in the AFC Championship game. And it's what most of us thought was going to happen at some point against the Bucs, until you knew it wasn't. Until you knew they weren't going to be able to overcome the issues that were there. And last night against, let's be honest, a completely inferior team, they showed that, yeah, they had their struggles at first, but then when they turned it on, man, they absolutely turned it on and hit the Jets and started rolling. Patrick Mahomes, a number of things last night that he accomplished and records and things like that. Throwing 5 touchdown passes in 10 minutes and 30 seconds of game time, which is a record in the postseason. And it's a record by almost 14 minutes. The fastest 5 touchdowns in the, you know, fewest minutes. Tom Brady in 2011 threw 5 touchdowns in 25 minutes of game time. That was the record. Mahomes now has it in 10 minutes and 30 seconds. I don't know that that's going to be broken. That's going to be really difficult for a player to break, since Tom Brady has it for 10 years, and now Patrick Mahomes has it. And when he turned it on, he turned it on. The 6 touchdown drives, 22 of 25 was Mahomes. 22 of 25, 352 yards. This is in about 20 minutes of football. It's a quarter and 5 minutes into the next one, not even a quarter and a half. 20 minutes of football, a third of the game. 22 of 25, 352, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. 6 straight touchdown drives. He also offered 27 yards rushing as well, a big 27-yard run, and then a 23-yard run as well, or excuse me, a 3-yard run. 23 and then, no, 4-yard run, that's right. It was on first or second down a little bit later on in that 6 touchdown drive stretch. So 27 rushing yards to go along with 352 passing yards, a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3. A lot of things to take away in this dominant performance, one of those being the Steelers suck. They do. I mean, I dismissed them all week for a reason. Beards was marking all of the commentary last week about...
It was just a precaution.
Do we have those saved anywhere of all of the...
No.
Mark those, mark where you were going to go back and get them?
I have them marked, but I don't have them cut and saved.
But if they were to lose last night, you were going to come in this morning and go and have to save those and bring them up. And we own those things, certainly. We own the predictions for the Bucks game.
But hey, at least the Steelers pulled the Steelers and did what we thought they would.
That's exactly right. The Chiefs were beating the Chiefs offense was beating the Chiefs offense at the end of the first quarter. The Chiefs offense was leading 7-0 over the Chiefs offense. The Chiefs offense had given up more points than they had scored. And then of course, they turned it on when they turned it on. 913-3810-810. Let's bring in Dan to the conversation here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, leading us off as the Chiefs head to the divisional round now to take on the Bills. 42-21 over the Steelers. Dan, go right ahead. What's on your mind, sir?
Hello.
What's up, Dan? Go right ahead.
Hey, you know, that was awesome last night, that run they made. But what I don't understand, what causes them to just come out flat like that? And then all of a sudden, it's almost like a different team came in and suited up, swapped uniforms with them, and boom. I don't think they can do that against the Bills.
No.
If they had done that against the Bills for a whole quarter, the Bills probably would have been up 24-0 like the Titans were.
Yeah, and you're not coming back from that. I mean, giving the Bills even a 10-point lead in the first quarter, if you come out slow like that, good luck. You're going to need to play one of your best games on Sunday.
I mean, they're going to have to play a complete game. I mean, I don't want them to stop being the Chiefs because that's who they are. But if they can just put together four, kind of spread out the run a little bit, you know, spread it out for four quarters and still play defense the way they are, they can beat the Bills. But I just don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to be able to do this forever where they just come out and just like they're sleepwalking and then all of a sudden, boom, they turn a switch on. I don't think they can rely on that forever. I mean, eventually, you know, they're going to have to change how they do things. But, hey, a win's a win.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and four straight years the Chiefs have won a game in the postseason. They had never had back-to-back years with a postseason win. And they've won four straight years now. Got a postseason win. I mean, the Bengals, my brother-in-law is a huge Bengals fan. My sister-in-law sent me a video of him crying after the Bengals knocked off the Raiders because 31 years ago was their last playoff win. We've been through that. We've been through that before, and now it's four straight years with the playoff win and heading on to the divisional round. So just the situation and the feeling that we are in right now. And, yeah, they got to play really well against the Bills. Dan, thank you for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. As far as, like, coming out flat and struggling, let's hear from Patrick Mahomes. He was asked about the communication on the sideline with coaches that was going on during the slow start. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes talking about what was going on the sideline when they were having their first five possessions of three punts and two turnovers.
I think we all were kind of talking. I think we were all pissed off at ourselves. We felt like we weren't playing with enough energy. We felt like we weren't executing at a high enough level and not playing with enough urgency. And so I thought guys really motivated themselves. We all kind of talked. It wasn't like one person talking. It was everybody talking to each other. And we came with a different urgency starting in that second quarter and kind of carried it the rest of the game.
Do you feel like your past postseason experience helps you stay in that mindset for a game like tonight?
Yeah, I mean, just experiences of being able to come from behind and get wins, playing in the postseason games. We have young dudes that hadn't played yet, and so they got to get that experience this week. And then you have those vets that have been in here before, and you showed that today with how Tyreek and Trav stepped up in big ways to kind of get us sparked and get us rolling again.
It's an odd stat that, you know, the two highest scoring playoff games for the Chiefs in their history? The two highest scoring Chiefs playoff games in their history.
I'm going to assume it was last night in the Texans game.
Both of them, they scored 0 points in the first quarter. I mean, like, 0 points in the first quarter of their two highest scoring playoff games. Which, I mean, it's odd last night because the Chiefs have been number one in the NFL in the first quarter, in scoring in the first quarter. And then they come out slow, and then they turn it on because they had been 20th in the NFL in the second and third quarter for some reason. First quarter best, second and third quarter, 20th. Last night, five possessions, three punts, two turnovers, And then the second and third quarter is six possessions and six touchdowns.
It seems like they always get jittery in the first playoff game.
Yeah. Maybe that Texans game did a lot for them because they started off jittery and then they just turned it on. They were down 10 points twice to the Tennessee Titans, turned it on. They were down, we know, 10 points to the 49ers late in the game, turned it on. So having that experience certainly is, that was the question from Sam, that, you know, being there, done that, and Patrick Mahomes saying, yeah, we've done that before. We've been able to come from behind, and, you know, they were trying to figure it out. And look, I mean, they were trying to figure out what the Steelers were doing. And then they did. Let's go to Jim next up on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jim, go right ahead. What's on your mind, sir?
You guys are doing great. I just want to talk about two things real quick. First of all, sometimes I think at the beginning of the game we get a little bit too cute with some of the plays that we run. And second, the Chiefs going out and finding these running backs, McKinnon, Gore, Williams, you know. I like Clyde, but if he ain't careful, he might lose his job. Our second string and third string running backs are outstanding. So go ahead, guys.
Jim, I appreciate the phone call, man. 913-3810-810. I don't know about the cute plays, if that's how they start with some of the cute plays. I think they start with their scripted plays to see what the Steelers are doing. You knew there would be a different game plan, but what was going to be different about the game plan that the Steelers put out there? And I do think the Chiefs were trying to run the football and establish that a little bit. I mean, I've had the mantra of let Pat play, right? Just let Pat play. The first five possessions, they ran 17 plays. They had four rushing plays, so 13 passes, four runs. In six possessions when they scored the touchdown, they had 41 plays. 31 of them were passes. So they were throwing the ball. They were saying, all right, down seven, fumbled the football, struggling, had an interception. Let's just go play. Just go play. Patrick, do what you do. And he did it. 22 of 25. A perfect quarterback rating the next six drives. So I don't know if it's about getting cute or if it's about, okay, we're going to run the football. We got to stick the body. You know, we got to go and work the body a little bit. We can't just simply go for the haymakers like Tyson right out of the gates. We want to see what defense they're going to be running. So we've got these scripted plays, and then let's adjust. The issue was during the season, the adjustment was then they weren't scoring. They came out really well with, I guess, an expectation of what the other team was going to do. They did that. They were successful, and then they struggled with adjustments. Or maybe they got, you know, complacent. I don't know. Or maybe there was a lack of, a sense of urgency that was missing, where in the playoffs you come out and you're maybe a little tight, trying to do too much. You're down, and then maybe you go, let's just go out and play. Let's just go do it. Pat, go be you. And I do think there was a little bit of, in the beginning of the game, that I do think Pat was trying to do too much. Patrick was trying to do too much. Let Patrick play. Let Pat play. I think he was trying to do a little too much and trying to be the spark instead of just simply, all right, this is what the offense is supposed to do. Because he had Kelsey right out of the gate on the interception that he threw. He had Kelsey right there, you know. Drop it to him, let him pick up 5-6 yards. But he wanted to hit the second level with Robinson, and T.J. Watt was there and knocked the ball in the air, and it's unfortunate, tipped in the air, and an interception. Punt, and then a fumble, 7-0. So maybe it was a, you know, trying to do too much, or I don't know about cute plays, but eventually they settled in and did what they did best. And I agree with you on Jerick McKinnon. We talked last week, if there were going to be players that stepped up and had playoff runs that didn't necessarily match what their regular season was, like 2019 when we said that Sammy Watkins and how good he was, obviously Damian Williams in that postseason run to the Super Bowl. Frank Clark became Clark the Shark and all the sacks he had and finishing off games. Kendall Fuller had to switch positions and played really well. Like, you saw a number of guys step up and play really well. And we discussed it last week. Who were the players that we had in mind? And the two that I landed on were Pringle to play that Sammy Watkins role and Jerick McKinnon. Because, I mean, over the summer, we talked about it a lot. And maybe it's rooting for your prediction, or maybe it's just simply saying that this is what we thought was going to happen anyway. Over the summer, Adam Teicher and I talked a lot, and we talked on the show that, you know, I felt like one of the more underrated signings was McKinnon. And it was odd because there's a little redundancy to what McKinnon does in the passing game to what we thought they were going to get out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But McKinnon just didn't get a shot, didn't get opportunities, whether that was because they were already ingrained with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams, and McKinnon was learning the offense and getting used to everything. Not sure what all of it was, but when he was in the game, he looked good. And there isn't a running back on the Chiefs that gives you that explosion to the outside to where you can run some of those stretch plays and you can cut it back. There isn't that running back there. Edwards-Helaire can't get to the outside in time. He's not fast enough. Darrell Williams isn't doing it. Derek Gore is a gap runner. Like, that's not what they offer. That's what McKinnon offers. And so, because of injury, and because I was hoping he would get a more extended look as the main guy, I felt like McKinnon could play the Damian Williams role. Pringle maybe playing the Sammy Watkins role, and then McKinnon playing the Damian Williams role. I didn't expect it to look like that. But I thought there was a chance, at least an element of, McKinnon can look like that. 18 touches, 142 total yards, 81 receiving yards, 61 rushing yards, a touchdown. He was brilliant. And he changes the offense. He gives the offense something they haven't had. It's a look of a faster, explosive player that can also get to the outside and stretch and turn it up, so you've got to worry about that. But also a guy that when he hits the hole, he does have that big playability and in the screen game. Again, the Steelers defense, for all the people that were like, oh, you know, the defense is pretty good for the Steelers, I disagree. I don't think they have all that great of a defense. Their rushing defense is trash. We know that. They can put pressure on the quarterback, and I think Wiley and Orlando Brown would like to forget what happened in that game last night and just move on to the Bills. They can put pressure on the quarterback. But outside of that, I think their defense is pretty lackluster, subpar. And they took advantage of that. But you saw what McKinnon can give them in that spark, that burst that they don't have with the other guys on the field. Let's go to RV next up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB in the Zone. Chiefs get the win 42-21 over the Steelers. RV, go right ahead. What's on your mind, sir?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm just going to throw out a bunch of stuff, and then you can digest it. First thing is that, to me, I love the Honey Badger, but seems like he's planning not to get hurt because he wants a contract down the road somewhere else. Number two, Neiman cannot get off blocks. Sorensen is still missing tackles. I called you a couple weeks ago and can't figure out why they're not using Amani Watts. When he did play scratch time, he was there. He was making plays. And then third, the thing that concerned me the most is that these offensive coordinators are licking their chops. I'm not sure why Fenton wasn't playing. Someone said he might have been hurt or scratched. But my concern is that Hughes is not the answer. I mean, I know these coordinators are going to – they remember how they beat the Chiefs the last time. And the way they beat the Chiefs is that they knew where the weaker links were. And that concerns me a little bit. But I think if the Chiefs – it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game the way I look at it. I think Mahomes is going to figure out most of the stuff that he's looking at. But what scares the heck out of me is that, oh my God, I see some of this stuff and I'm thinking, come on, Spag. And then why do they never play, I know they don't play cover two, but why is there never any help for these corners when they're out there on the island? Matthew and Thornton, it's always sort of like in the middle. I guess that's for run, defense, stoppage, or stuff over the middle, but they never have corner help. And I'm thinking, what are these safeties that every time you put these kids out on the island by themselves, they got to compete. I'll listen off the air, and I thank you for your time.
RV, I appreciate the phone call, man. 913-310-810. I'll just go in order of the points that you brought up. Tyrann Mathieu, I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, I don't know that he had to, I mean, was he out there? I know that he missed the tackle on Freiermuth. I know he was trying to punch the ball away from Claypool, who then threw a punch at him. That was kind of a funny exchange. And then Mathieu was like, hey, no flag? The guy punched me. And Claypool was like, you were throwing punches at me. Yeah, at the football, but you were still punching. And then as it relates to Niemann and Sorensen and Watts, I'm with you. Like, Watts out there in the game, I don't know that I've ever watched a game where when Watts has been in and mop-up duty, that I thought, ooh, that's why. I can see why they don't want him to play. He got burned. He was in the wrong spot. He didn't really want to come up and tackle. I don't know. Sorensen, they like him. They think he's in the right spot all the time. I don't know. I'd like to see Watts out there more as well. And as far as like licking the chops, Fenton was a late scratch. Hughes being out there and, not being an answer, I guess, is what you were talking about. The concern I would have coming out of the game is even with Big Ben throwing the football, the Chiefs were still exposed in the one-on-one matchups with the receivers on the sidelines that they were giving up the jump balls, that they were in good position. I mean, we heard that against the Bengals a lot. And then last night with James Washington on the sideline, that, boy, Ward cannot play better defense than he did right there. Right, we heard that a lot on Jamar Chase and then last night as well. They're still getting exposed on that. And the reason you see those is because of the blitz packages that Spags brings, that there's a trust of those guys on the outside, the techniques that they use, that they're taught, and for the most part, they came through last night. And I thought they played just fine in turning their heads and not picking up penalties and going after the football. But they got beat on the play down the sideline to a Washington. Still a concern there. And Mike Hughes got beat in the end zone as well. So we'll see what ends up happening this week. But, yeah, they got to play a really good game against the Bills. 913-3810-810. 913-912-4810, the text line. We'll get into some texts as well. Some of your phone calls continuing. Those on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to your phone calls next. Chiefs win 42-21 over the Steelers. Get ready for the Bills Sunday night, 5:30 at Arrowhead Stadium. We continue more zone next.
Anderson. You're in the zone with Jason Anderson.
I think it's just the Kansas City barbecue just leaking through my pores. Makes me a little slippery out there.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I like the remix there.
913. I didn't have the beginning of the audio file selected when
Anderson,
I hit play.
Anderson, the zone. 913-912-4810. Text line to be a part of the show. Let's get into some of the texts that have been coming in. Text says, has McKinnon become a legit weapon for the postseason, or was it just because it was the Steelers' defense? I think the latter is part of it. I think you have to bake that into the conversation around Jerick McKinnon. But I think also he adds an element that the Chiefs offense hasn't had from their running backs this year, and that is that explosiveness to the edge, to the outside, and also top-end speed that Darrell Williams doesn't give you, that Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't give you, that Derek Gore doesn't give you, that explosiveness, that big play threat that they had from Damian Williams. Which certainly goes back to conversation we had at the time, and not to rehash and get all into that conversation again, but I wanted them to stay with Damian Williams, and I know that he opted out, and they draft Edwards-Helaire before he opted out, so it was a nice backup plan, and who knows what last year would have been, but I wanted them to bring back, like, re-sign Damian Williams this year. Obviously, they felt with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams, they wanted to bring in Jerick McKinnon, and certainly they've gotten to this position, but perfect world, use a different draft pick in the first round on a different position, and Damian Williams is still the running back because of what he can do for this team. I mean, even the fact that he's with Chicago and not doing much. Great. We know what he can do in the Chiefs offense. So McKinnon reminds me of that. Texas guys, how pissed are you going to be next Sunday when Jet McKinnon only gets 5 touches as Clyde Edwards-Helaire, whom I love, takes over again? Yeah, it'd be annoying as long as it's in a winning effort. If they win the game, don't care who touches the ball. Derek Gore can have 150. I don't care. Just as long as they find a way to win the game, utilize the players that are there that give you the best chance of winning. Text comes in and says, McKinnon always been a good running back. Coming from a Vikings fan, he made a lot of big plays in Minnesota. It was sad to see him go elsewhere. If he's healthy, he's a quality starting running back. Yeah, I mean, the 49ers gave him all that money for a reason. It's one of the points that we brought up over the summer is, you know, why I liked the McKinnon signing. It's because of the things he could do that wasn't on the team with Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams, and Derek Gore. Of course, didn't know much about what Derek Gore was going to be. At that time, it was like Darwin Thompson, right? But Derek Gore has been a fine running back as well. Another text comes in. Says, during the Kelce touchdown pass, 15 was wide open on the wheel route. I'm sure 87 was told never to throw the ball to the $500 million player. Let's hear from Patrick Mahomes, who was asked to critique the touchdown from Travis Kelce to Byron Pringle and that play. Maybe that play overall, but really, how would you critique Kelce's touchdown?
There's not much to critique. I mean, he slid in the pocket. He dropped his arm down, made a little sidearm throw. If anything, if it wouldn't have scored, I'd been a little upset because I thought I was open in the flat. But they told him not to throw me the ball. So I'll have to talk to Coach Reed about that and maybe be the second option there.
Look at him stirring up drama.
You know they told him not to throw him the ball. He was open right out of the gates. But if Pringle wasn't open, I don't think Kelce would have been able to throw the ball over to Mahomes because of the longer throw. And the linebacker did eventually get over there to at least cut off what would have been an angle. And you don't really want to throw a jump ball to the $500 million player.
Just demanding more touches.
That's exactly right.
So selfish.
I've thrown 5 touchdowns. Why can't I catch one? Throw me the ball. Give me the ball. Andy Reid, let's hear from him on the touchdown pass from Travis Kelce since we're talking about that play. Here's Andy Reid weighing in on Travis Kelce's touchdown throw.
You know, his pass record is terrible, so I was just looking for a completion. We ended up with a touchdown, but he struggled to get those before, but he sure did a nice job with that one. And it didn't end up the way it was necessarily supposed to end up, but the touchdown was great, so. They played a little bit different look on him, but he hung with it and threw some seams there and made a nice touch pass.
I wonder what the play was supposed to be. Was it supposed to be Kelce running up the middle? Because we've seen that before. Was it a passing play? Because it didn't turn out the way that was originally planned with that play. Because it looked like he hesitated a little bit. He you know, took a couple of steps forward, and it almost looked like he was going to jump. Was it going to be like a jump pass, like a Tebow little pop pass? But then he stopped, and then he, you know, hit Byron Pringle in a pretty nice throw. Pretty good throw from Kelce. So while Mahomes was open, I think the point being, like, when he says they told him not to throw me the football, probably because, like, he's not a part of the play. He's there to take the linebacker out of the play to clear up space when Pringle runs that, you know, little slant route, that the linebacker won't be there to, you know, be taking up that space and that angle. But I do wonder what the original play was. Andy Reid wasn't going to say, like, or the original read and what they thought the play was going to end up looking like. 913-912-4810. Wanted to get into this text here that says, I would call in, but I've got no voice. Row 8 does that to you. But give credit where it's due. D-Rob, Hardman, and Pringle made plays when needed. McKinnon is a stud. They did. Now, if DeMarcus Robinson can stop running with the football like that, that would be great.
I mean, listen, at least he caught it so far past the first yard marker that even if he would have ran backwards, it wouldn't have mattered.
Baby steps with Robinson. Start running forward. The next step is, now that you've mastered that, stop running with the ball like that. Okay? Please. Tuck it away. I don't... How many other guys in the league do you see doing that? But it's Robinson the one that is like, I'm so good, I'll just run with the football out here. Does he think he gains a step by doing that? I don't understand it. I mean, he played well, so I don't want to criticize DeMarcus Robinson when he played well, but just stop doing that. LeSean McCoy was, you know, running with the football and, you know, hanging it out, you know, 3-4 feet away from his body and had the ball stripped from him a couple of times, and then that was it. And then it was load management. Just don't want to see DeMarcus Robinson in a big play like that. 913-912-4810, Texas. Do you think they are too wired before the game? I mean, I think there can be an element of that. I mean, last year, I'd have to go back and think of what the first part of the Browns game was like. I mean, I feel like they led like 7-3 or
something. 6-3 was the end of the first, because I went and looked.
Okay.
And then the Colts game, they were up like 14-0.
Yeah, they came out pretty hot against the Colts. And then against the Patriots, we know they did not. They got shut out in the first half and then scored 31 in the second half. Texans, we know. Titans, we know. 49ers. And then against the Bills, they were down 9-0 in the AFC Championship game. And then they went on, what, like a 25-26-0 run? They've done that as well. It's a different Bills team. It's going to be a fun game on Sunday. The nerves are already hitting me. As much as I dismissed the Steelers last week and had no anxiety whatsoever, no worry about the Steelers in the first round, overlooked them all week. Obviously, the Chiefs did not. But it's the exact opposite this week, because I believe the winner of Sunday night's game will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Whether that team wins the Super Bowl or not, I think the winner at Arrowhead Stadium at, what, 8:30, 8:40 or whatever, whoever's walking off the field victorious, I believe is going to win the next week and then head to L.A. to represent the AFC, you know, maybe playing a home game if it's the Bengals. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap up this hour next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Spags was talking about Sneed. Snags was talking about speed.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I want to get to this tweet that came in. This is pretty good. James Marlowe on Twitter tweets in and says, last seven home games, the Chiefs defense has allowed 17, 7, 9, 9, 9, 10, and 21. Of those last two, of that 31 points total at the last two games, both against the Steelers, 14 points came in garbage time when the Chiefs were up by a significant amount. One of those touchdowns came when the Chiefs' backups were in the game, like all backups in the game. It didn't happen last night because the backups ended up getting a stop. As he said, and he tweets in and says 14 points, and then reads play call, fumble, the touchdown. So 21 against the Steelers last night, but the defense actually gave up 7 when it mattered. And it really didn't matter at that time because they were up 42-7. So did it really matter? I don't know. I don't think so. Or 35-7, whatever the score was. So he points out 11.7 points per game in the last seven home games. And 25% coming in garbage time. Or even the scoop and score touchdown by Watt. I mean, they have been incredibly dominant at home. You can talk about the offense they have gone up against. That's fine. I wanted them to come out and look like that against the Steelers, because the conversation this week would be completely different if the Steelers were moving the football on them, getting ready for the Bills. At least they did what they were supposed to do by being a dominant defense.